Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, as always. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, December 2nd, 2019. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning. Good
morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Happy Victory Monday to all.
And look who's back. It is the Bishop, Jason Bishop.
I'm back.
Welcome back, buddy.
And he is back on a Victory Monday, which is driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. Got to tell you, didn't see that one coming, especially after that start.
Well, I love it. A Victory Monday, even at 3-9, is so much better than the alternative. I just absolutely love it.
Hey, you still got a shot at the division, too.
Come on. I think I heard something. The odds were something like 1 in 887,000 before
still
the game.
Sweat.
But the way everything played out, I'm sure it actually improved a little bit.
They're the only team in the NFC East that has won the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Leapfrog the Giants, because they're terrible, too.
Oh, they're just bad. The old division
sucks. It's a bad division this year, but the Redskins have played better the last couple weeks. That's good.
They definitely have.
Yeah. And that running game yesterday, wow.
Yeah, we can get that.
Panthers allowed 250 yards rushing to a team that was averaging about 86 yards rushing.
Well, that had been their MO throughout the season. They were getting victimized by opposing running backs. Yeah. So, great spot for a breakout.
Ron Rivera can't last.
I don't know. It's not looking great.
I mean, I'm going to give him somewhat of a pass in that, you know, and I was buying in early that this was it for Cam Newton because Kyle Allen, first five starts, was 5-0 and was really taking care of the football.
Yeah.
He stinks.
Well, after the first two drives, he really stunk.
Well, I wouldn't be in a hurry to get rid of Cam, I'll tell you that. He certainly has flashes at times, but didn't, you know, after the first couple drives, I don't know what kind of adjustments they made, but they were spectacular.
I mean, guys were wide open on the first two drives, but they got after the quarterback after that.
Truth is, defensively, they benched Josh Norman a couple weeks ago. Fabian Moreau,
best thing
who,
ever happened.
By all accounts, everybody said he was having a horrific season playing out of the slot. Much better as an outside corner. He's got three interceptions, nearly had four.
He's like a Pro Bowler.
And then they bring in these two guys this week. One guy from Arkansas State who's been on the practice squad.
Chris Odom.
I guess they signed earlier this week. He has two sacks. And then the other guy who's bounced around on four teams this year, in Nate Orchard, also has a sack. They got hungry guys. We're making plays.
My guy Montez Sweat had another 1.5 sacks. He's climbing towards that number.
That was actually a breakout game for him before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, he was flashing all over the place. You're like, whoa, this is what we thought we got when we drafted him.
Well, he got to play Kerrigan's position. And I heard, you know, some of the NFL guys I did the shows on NBC Sports Washington last night were saying, well, it's a more natural position for him.
Yeah.
Maybe
that
sometimes
makes sense.
They get to their natural position and they flourish.
That makes sense.
How about you let the guy
like
play
freak.
Where he's used to playing?
Well, but Kerrigan's there, so is he going to supplant
sometimes
Kerrigan?
Sometimes you phase out the older guys.
Okay. Maybe that's what's going to happen.
Make room for the youth movement.
Move Kerrigan to the other side.
Which is what they should be doing, by the way, at the end of a lost season. You play the young guys and see what they have and let them develop.
Kyle Allen hold the ball longer? I think he should hold the ball a little bit longer.
Did you have money on Carolina? Is that what happened?
No. I can't fathom how a quarterback can sit back there.
Well, give him credit.
And I saw it all over the NFL, and I saw it in college. Guys just sit there and they hold the ball.
Yeah, they think they have 6 seconds to deliver the ball.
Yeah, they're not going to make it as a quarterback if you do that.
Overall, it was just great play from both lines. I mean, obviously, you touched on what they did defensively, 7 sacks overall. They opened up offensively holes for 248 yards rushing. And then, you know what? I mean, Dwayne Haskins makes mistakes. He takes too many sacks. Sometimes he leaves a clean pocket, but I thought I saw progress.
He had some drops.
I think he's getting
better than the numbers. I agree.
I think he's getting better, man. So
no, think about it. It's encouraging. If McLaurin brings down that one throw that went through his hands, would have been a tough catch.
Yeah, he should have caught that.
Catches a ball. All of a sudden, you know, his numbers are a lot more respectable.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's just the eye test. I mean, he's getting better. We all see it. I mean, from when he first came in, and threw three picks. I can't remember who that was. Was it the Giants game?
Giants game, yeah.
And then he played Minnesota the next week. Didn't look that much better. You know, last couple weeks, you're slowly but surely seeing progress. Not huge progress, but you're seeing progress, you're seeing a reason to build on it.
They didn't win because of him.
No, but he was fine. He was just, you're seeing growth. But
they won because Geis is nice.
Well, Geis and the defense.
And the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm just, look, you're watching that game overall to see what the quarterback's doing, and I'm seeing progress.
By the way, the next time Bill Callahan decides to get frisky, I don't know if he's married or what his deal is, he's just going to think about that game. He's just going to flashback.
It's right up his alley,
oh,
huh?
Oh, yeah.
30 carries for 248 yards.
Peterson almost got 100. Darius Geis was beasting all over the place.
Every NFL coach would get sized for that.
Of course.
Every single NFL coach.
Callahan especially.
Especially after the start, like you said. To be down 14-0.
Yeah, it was great.
I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a 42-14 game.
Right, you thought Boat Race City was happening.
Because it was so easy.
Yeah, well, I don't know how they made those kind of adjustments, but they did. And, you know, guys are getting home, and quietly, Matt Ioannidis, I mean, I don't know, that guy's, I'm voting for him for the Pro Bowl. I don't know anything about other tackles in the league, but how many sacks does he have now on the year? That guy's unbelievable. He's got to have seven or eight, at least.
Seven and a half.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Ioannidis has just been a beast.
Yeah, he's going to get you double digits as an interior lineman.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Massive.
And JP mentioned Fabian Moreau, who I think has three picks now in the last couple weeks. He's been like a Pro Bowler compared to Josh Norman. Now he's played on the outside, seems to have settled in. And Tressway, you know, everybody knows he's great, but I mean, he's just ridiculous. He had a 79-yard punt yesterday, 58-yard average. I mean, that guy just comes up big every single time you need him.
Every single week. He never shanks one.
I mean, I don't know how there's a better punter. I don't study punters, so maybe there's 10 better, but I don't know how it's possible. He seems as good as anybody in the league, if not better.
I'll tell you this. I don't think in the grand scheme of things the win matters. But if you're in Bill Callahan's corner, they've actually won three games, Callahan, out of seven.
Bring it back. Bring the whole staff back.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I hate to think of that.
I'll tell you what. They're playing their way out of Chase Young.
Well, they're not going to get Chase Young, but that's fine. There's plenty of great players in there. Chase Young may be the best, but they'll have to find other ones. You want to play the young players, and you want the young players to do well, and they are doing well. So you can't ask to play the young players, hope they do well, but also lose.
Right.
That just doesn't make sense.
Correct.
So, they're 3-9. They're a poop team, but they're showing some pride. They look dead. They look like the worst team that the NFL's ever rolled out there about 5-6 weeks ago, and they actually look competent.
They're showing
right
signs
now.
Of life.
They
right.
actually
Which
look competent.
Now,
yeah.
They have beaten some inferior opponents.
No doubt.
They haven't beat a winning team yet. The last two games, they've beaten backup quarterbacks, Jeff Driscoll and Kyle Allen. But
that's what you're supposed to do.
The way that they won the game is how they were actually winning with Alex Smith. With a quarterback who's a game manager, and Haskins is certainly not blowing us away, but he didn't commit any turnovers yesterday. That was the Alex Smith formula. Running the football yesterday, just a historic performance. And then the defense playing well. That was their formula for success last year when Alex Smith was the quarterback, because Alex Smith wasn't carving up defenses. Alex Smith wasn't throwing for 300 yards or 400 yards and four touchdowns. Alex Smith was throwing for like 170, 180 yards.
The Skins can just rein in C-Mac the last couple of times they've played him.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because usually C-Mac will throw up about 200 total yards on you, but yesterday he was pedestrian.
He was held in check, yeah.
I mean, he didn't do anything in the run game.
Somebody was quoted as saying we had their running game down like a book or something. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing.
The first two drives, you would have thought that the Redskins were going to lose 45-10.
Yeah, it was not looking good early.
Oh, my God.
So, the leader in the NFL with a 49.9 yard average in punting is Tressway.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to the Pro Bowl.
So he's averaging 50 yards per punt, basically.
Yes. I can't imagine there's a better punter, but I don't think he's gotten as much recognition as it seems like he deserves over the last few years.
Well,
maybe this will be the year.
Punters don't deserve that. I mean, they don't deserve that.
I don't think he's been to enough Pro Bowls for as good as I feel like he's punted. But again, I don't study.
It's
punters.
A great skill, but again, in the pecking order, I mean, he's a punter.
I'm not expecting him to be famous or crazy. You know, I'm just saying. as a punter. I feel like he should go to the Pro Bowl
every
year.
He's very good at his job.
Well, he's also number one in net at 44 and a half. So, I mean, he's statistically the best.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about Redskins throughout the show. It is Victory Monday. Our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman is going to join us at 7. We've got Morgan Moses, who didn't finish the game yesterday. John Christian came in and finished it for Morgan
Moses.
How
good did Chris Thompson look?
20.
When he got in there. Now, he didn't get enough looks, in my opinion. But he looked fresh. He looked great.
Yep. How can he get more looks when they got Guys and Peterson? But Chris Thompson will join us at 9. Should mention on a Victory Monday, the Terps are on fire and may be top three in the college basketball polls.
Yeah, it was a nice trip for them down to Orlando.
Because Maryland football was in the college football polls at one point, but this basketball team's different.
Well, the basketball team's different. They're for real.
They are good.
The only I'm telling you, they may not in this game against Marquette. I didn't watch. But in a couple of these other games, they struggle early sometimes to get out of the gate.
Right.
And they dig kind of holes for themselves, but they're good enough.
I think it's always hard when you play in these neutral floors to get to kind of get used to the angles and the arena.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But yesterday, they got up 20 at the half, and they held the best, the leading score in the country to, 1 for 12?
Yeah. Mm. He only had 2 points in the first half.
He was 1 for 12.
It's always nice to beat Wojo, too, when Wojo's on the opposing sideline.
Right.
As if you root for Maryland. It's good to give him a big fat L.
Let me add that in on a Victory Monday that the Terps are undefeated and won.
You know what? Give
hoops.
Props to George Mason for winning the Cayman Classic.
Yeah.
They're 8-1. Nice job, Dave Paulson.
That's right.
So a couple of locals getting those holiday Thanksgiving tournament wins.
And then over the weekend, UVA football beating the Hokies.
That was a big win.
That was bad.
I mean,
could Tech actually allow more big plays? I mean, big play after big play after big play. That was hard to watch.
Mm. Yeah, for some reason I was watching that game. I don't know why. And then on Saturday, I really wanted to watch the Alabama-Auburn game. But I was running around, and then I had family over, and my brother-in-law is a huge Notre Dame guy. So I sat there and had to watch the Notre Dame-Stanford game, which, by the way, was interminable. It was the longest game ever.
How did you watch that over Alabama-Auburn?
He's a Notre Dame guy. So, my brother-in-law, it's his favorite team.
I didn't get to watch any of the highlights. Were amazing. Just to watch how it went down, particularly Saban going nuts at the end of the first half.
Oh, it's not amazing if you need Alabama to get to 11 wins for a season-long sweat.
I was irate.
I didn't think it was amazing at all.
I'll tell you what, man. First of all, it's the worst defense we've ever seen at Alabama under Saban, by far. Usually when he loses guys in the NFL, he replaces guys who are just as good. Not this year. And if Tua plays, probably doesn't throw the two pick sixes, so that's probably the difference in the game. But there's no way you can allow a true freshman to roll up 34 points on you.
Right.
Was it two pick sixes? I thought it was one pick six and a kickoff return. Or punt return.
Who?
Alabama gave up two pick sixes?
Yeah,
I thought it was one.
He threw two pick sixes.
Gotcha.
And, but it's the worst defense we've seen. But there's no way. I'm putting it all on coaches because they had 14 penalties. They didn't know what to do on the fourth down with Bo Nix, they got the offsides penalty or the 12 men on the field. They just were totally, totally unprepared for that. And
that said, it's got to kill you.
You cannot score 45 points in a spot like that on the road and lose.
By a field goal, though, and you go back to the end of that first half where they allow Auburn to get a field goal after first down, they thought the clock expires. Saban goes nuts saying that there's no way that you can get a field goal off in 1 second, but they did.
They probably got screwed on that call. It looked like the time expired. But I'm sorry, 45 points should be enough to win a game.
Yeah.
And that goes on Coach Saban and that staff.
Oh, and since we're talking college football, congratulations to Jim Harbaugh for another great performance by Michigan against Ohio State.
Yeah. You're earning that $7 million, Jim Harbaugh. Good for you.
In the last 2 years, he's given up 62 and 56 to Ohio State.
I'm sure that Ohio State's fan base is insufferable, too, but I love watching Michigan take high-profile L's. I love it.
So do I.
Love it. I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough.
And by the way, Georgia probably made a mistake starting Fromm over Fields and forcing him to transfer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Fields was at Georgia with his ability? Hmm. I mean, Georgia's legit, but Fields is a whole new dimension.
Getting back to Bama, by the way, they're going to have like four receivers picked in the first two rounds of the draft.
Oh, so much talent.
Maybe in the first round. Those dudes are ridiculous.
So much talent. But their defense is poor.
It's bad.
The defense is god-awful. But, I mean, that would really piss me off. That ruined my Saturday.
Don't you guys just have like $100?
It's not a ton, but
it was the difference between paying and getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, Jason sent me a text. I definitely had to Omnev him like $87.50.
Venmo?
Yeah, I had to Venmo him some money yesterday.
Yeah.
Salty.
Meanwhile, I was making little $5 and $10 wagers. I was good on what did I have? I had Dak Prescott over 270 and 2 touchdowns. That was nice.
I love getting in on the props. I love it.
It was just for fun. But then I lost last night with Brady because I had Brady under the 287.
Who's booking the prop bets?
Oh, I'm just putting him on the.
Oh, Brady pulled a Kirk Cousins with a lot of garbage yards.
Yeah, I went to.
They scored twice in the last.
Wasn't he awful in the first half?
I don't think he was great in the first quarter.
I think Brady had his worst statistical first half, like in maybe his entire career.
You look at his overall numbers; he ended up with a big number, big day.
Numbers-wise, 13-yard scramble.
Yes.
He had a 13-yard scramble.
Watch that live.
Why is he running so slow? I was like, that's just how he runs.
Hey, those numbers all count in fantasy. Doesn't matter when you post them.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Garbage yardage is very valuable.
14 of his 24 completions were to Edelman or White.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust anybody else.
By the way, not a victory Monday for Nick Foles, who I had a decent amount of exposure to in DFS sweats, who was terrible and got yanked for Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. All right, a lot to get into on the show. As I mentioned, Morgan Moses, Chris Thompson, they will join us later. We got a Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, join us at 7. How are you feeling about this Redskins team? Are you becoming more optimistic about the future after 2 straight wins? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on a Victory Monday, driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including Priorities for Life, the most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com. So the Redskins get their 3rd win of the year, their 2nd in a row. They've beaten the Lions and the Carolina Panthers in 2 straight games. I'm wondering if Redskins fans are waking up feeling a little more optimistic about the future. I saw there were a lot of cynical responses on social media, and it really had to do with Bruce Allen. Look, there are reports now that Bruce Allen may be out. We'll see. Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network reported it. There are some that kind of confirm it, that at least Snyder's going to do a good review.
Yeah.
Well, look, 10 years in, you're going to review.
That's one of those, believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll believe it when you see it. But, I mean, obviously it's well overdue. I mean, you look at his 10-year record here, and it's just atrocious.
But at least he's open to it, whereas before he was never open
to it. Well, I think he has to. Apparently word has gotten out that, like, all of the, believe it or not, like the Fire Bruce Allen hashtags is having an impact over there. The Redskins are noticing that every time they post anything, they're just getting inundated, bombarded with Fire Bruce Allen hashtags. Like, it doesn't matter.
They sent well wishes to Terrell Pryor because he got stabbed by a woman over the weekend, and, you know, he's in critical condition. And basically every response had hashtag Fire Bruce Allen.
Right. So, I mean, it's actually having an impact. I mean, nobody's going to the games. The tickets are going for $4. So even if they win a couple games down the stretch here, that doesn't change any of that.
It shouldn't.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
So, you know.
I don't think the Bruce Allen thing should affect your view on the players. Like, I think there is reason to be optimistic. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, because it took forever to finally see Geis on the field. And what we've seen is, he is what people were expecting.
He's as good as advertised.
And the first couple games, you know, they didn't get a ton of carries, and he ran for about 30 yards. But, man, he averaged 13 yards a carry yesterday, just under 13 yards a carry. And he's healthy. Like, that's the biggest thing. The guy's been injury-prone in the NFL.
Yeah.
And whether or not he liked that label, it's just a reality.
And you have to hope that he can stay healthy because he's a guy that he relishes contact and punishing
defenders.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a long career ahead of him. I mean, you could see it.
I mean, he might be like Marion Barber from the Cowboys who had a few good years.
Size. He's smaller, much smaller.
Right.
I mean, he's tough. He's
stocky
strong,
though. He's thick.
But he's so small and he does take a ton of shots.
He's going to take a beating and he'll be out by 28, 29. But hopefully he can be healthy enough to give you a couple thousand-yard seasons. I mean, he clearly has the ability. I mean, he's got special ability. You see why Jay Gruden, you know, didn't feel like he really needed Adrian Peterson.
Right.
You know, because when you see the way Geis runs. But having both of those guys, look, you can say what you want about Adrian Peterson. All you can do is shake your head and just admire that dude. That guy's just an unbelievable phenom to do what he's able to do at this age with that kind of wear and tear on him. I mean, both those guys, man, that looks like a pretty damn good 1-2 punch right now. And then you throw in Chris Thompson when he's healthy. So that's something to be excited about.
I don't think Chris Thompson's going to be part of their future, though.
I don't think so either. But right
transition.
Now, just for right now, you know, I like that. That's what they're supposed to have to start the season.
But also the defense is playing, and it's against bad quarterbacks. And we'll see what happens against Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau. Rodgers, who nobody's talking about this year because all the attention's on Russell Wilson. And, of course, Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP. I looked it up. I think Aaron Rodgers has 22 touchdowns with 2 picks.
Yeah.
Quietly has 22 touchdowns
yesterday.
With 2
picks. And that was yesterday in the snow.
That was with his best receiver, Davante Adams, sidelined for about half the season.
All right.
His numbers would be even gaudier.
So my guess is the defense isn't going to fare as well against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on Sunday as they did yesterday. But they looked, you know, they look like what you wanted to see from this Redskins defense. And maybe it's you're inserting some younger guys. Out Josh Norman, out Ryan Kerrigan, Sweat's making plays. These two guys they brought in this week.
Oh, yeah.
Were Nate hungry Orchard, when they got their chance.
Chris Odom, absolutely, had impact. 7 sacks defensively. And then again the biggest
Brandon
thing
Collins
is...
Collins has actually played well this year. He's not what we maybe hope for in terms of interceptions.
He makes a lot of tackles.
And turnovers.
Well, he's more of a run support
guy. He's a leader.
He's what was advertised.
But again... But they beat Jeff Driskel and they beat... Kyle Allen.
Understood.
True, but you know what, Jason? Here's the thing. They beat 2 NFL teams when they didn't even look like an NFL team themselves.
That is true.
And for about 4 or 5 weeks.
And I certainly didn't expect them to win those 2 games.
Yeah.
And I thought Haskins looked better.
But let's
I know
pump the
numbers
progressing. A little bit. Just pump the brakes a little bit.
I know. I'm just saying, look, you can disagree. 800-636-1067.
I'm not going to pump the brakes.
I want to hear from Redskins fans. How are you feeling? Are you feeling more optimistic? I would feel more optimistic about Haskins. I thought in the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half, he looked most comfortable, made some really nice throws. He had one downfield to Chris Thompson.
Yeah.
I thought that there was, like, he wasn't helped by his receivers a ton yesterday. And look, he didn't, you know, have 3 touchdowns. I understand that. But he had so many turnovers early.
It's just
so
modest improvement week
right.
to week,
There's
which
progress.
Is what you want to see. You want to see flashes. And you see the flashes where he steps up in the pocket, creates some plays with his legs. He still looks downfield. And you see the arm talent, the arm strength, where he zips a couple of those balls in some tight windows and some tight coverages there. Look, I'm seeing building blocks where, you know, 7 or 8 weeks ago, all you heard was he could barely get the team to the line of scrimmage. He couldn't even, identify the Mike linebacker. Like, so, we've come leaps and bounds from there. He's limiting turnovers. He's not having explosive days, but I think those are ahead of him. I don't think this is a guy who for 10 years is going to be 17 for, 33 or something and 160 yards. I think his upside is much greater than that.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I do.
We'll see.
I do. He's got that arm talent.
He does have a strong arm, but I'm not as optimistic at the quarterback position.
We don't even know
who the quarterback or the coach is going to be next year.
No, we definitely don't.
I said this
last
week.
You have no idea what kind of system they want to run.
To me, he seems a little slow in terms of
making the reads. I don't see that.
That said,
I
thought he made some good throws yesterday. And I think he's most
speed up
in that 2-minute drill.
When he gets more exposure to the offense, that will speed up.
To me, that doesn't jump out at me. I don't. You know, when I'm watching him, I don't see a guy who I think is slowly going through progressions. Maybe he is.
I think that's why he takes a lot of the sacks.
Well, I think he's leaving a pocket. Sometimes he's leaving a pretty good pocket way too early, which is strange because he can stand in there and take a hit. He's not afraid to take a hit, but whatever. I think it just comes with experience, and he's gaining it. And thank God they're not playing Case or Colt.
Oh yeah.
At this point,
no upside to that whatsoever.
So I think you have to be encouraged.
My opinion, I mean, it doesn't matter now, but this is why, in my opinion, they should have been playing Haskins since like week 4.
Maybe.
Because what was the point of playing.
Well, the problem is he certainly didn't look like he was ready early on.
Yeah, but now he's grown. Game experience.
But now he clearly looks like he can handle this, and I think he's growing slowly. It's not huge. He didn't throw a touchdown yesterday. Didn't even throw for 200 yards. But you're seeing progress week to week, and that's good. So I personally am excited. I it sucks that we're not going to draft Chase Young. Chase Young looks like he's going to be the most explosive player in this draft. Looks like he could be a game changer type. But there are going to be other great players in this draft. There are going to be other game changers in the draft.
They could be, and they win one more game. Let's just say it's the Giant game, and they have four wins. That could be the sixth pick.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's okay. It's a long rebuild. This is not a team that's going to contend.
They're not one player away.
But when you're certainly looking at one player and you're targeting one player, and like this would be a great fit,
right?
And
he would be. He'd be a great fit for everybody.
He'll go in the top three.
But look, they drafted Terry McLaurin in the third round. He looks like he could be a potential Pro Bowler. So you could find great players.
Hell, the Giants might have the number one overall pick. Yeah, the way they're playing,
yeah, they might. They might.
They have that sort of potential. So, no doubt.
I'm encouraged. I know when I'm watching these games, I want to end these games with dubs. I would have been very, very disappointed, and it would have put a damper on my day yesterday. You know, Jason was pissed off because of some betting angles on Saturday and Virginia Tech losing. I would have been pissed off, and it would have ruined my day if the Skins had blown that game. I'll tell you that right now.
First win for them in Charlotte since 1998. So it's
It's
been a while since they've gotten a win down.
Yeah. All right, here's the thing with Haskins and the progress.
I think Panthers were 5-2 against them going into
the game. It's natural to judge a guy, especially a rookie, after every game. And we understand that. And we're making, judgments that could change a year or two down the road, 3 years down the road. I saw this stat on Josh Allen, and I was blown away. So Josh Allen, the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and this is just this season. He's in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
He starts the year in his first four games, 6 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Struggle,
horrible
man.
Ratio of touchdowns to turnovers. And since then, in the last 8 games, 18 touchdowns, just 3 picks. That's
really
a young
good.
Quarterback progressing and learning and getting
That's
better.
That's a 9-win team right now.
Right.
Doesn't Buffalo have 9 wins?
Yeah, they were 8-3 heading into Thanksgiving. Yeah. And they punked the Cowboys.
So but you do
also,
have to give the guy
he's
time.
Also a quarterback who has another element, and that's his legs.
True.
Yep. Yep.
And that's
huge
for him.
And he's got more than Haskins does there. But Haskins has a little bit more legs than people gave him credit for coming into the league. So, I don't know. I like what I've seen so far, and I didn't like what I saw about a month ago. About a month ago, this didn't even look like an NFL-caliber franchise, and they've gotten they've been competitive. They got a couple dubs here, granted, albeit against some mediocre teams, but it's something, and you're getting the young players to contribute. So I think there's some things to get excited about. Want to hear from you, 800-636-1067 on this Victory Monday. Let me hear that good music, Valdez. Come on, let me hear that good stuff. We're not the Ravens. We don't have Lamar Jackson. We get it. We're not in the running for any Super Bowls anytime soon.
We got to talk about that game.
But, hey, it's something to build on. Let's go to Jim in Richmond. Listen on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, Jim, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys. How are you guys this morning?
Doing what's okay.
Up, appreciate the opportunity, but I got to pound on your parade a little bit here. It's the Washington Redskins. The last 20 years, we've seen ups and downs. It's still Danny Snyder. And the culture that he created in that organization. Until he goes, I wouldn't get excited about anything.
Well, Dan's never going to go.
Yeah, why would he
that's
ever
not
sell?
Happen.
Well, then don't get excited. Don't get excited about guys.
I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in that world.
What if he makes a move?
Well, that's where we live in.
Jim, what if he makes a move on Bruce Allen?
It's a step in the right direction.
No, it's the culture in there. He's ruined every quarterback. It's just a horrible organization. Everybody knows it. And you guys want to get on their bandwagon and think that they've got a chance? I mean, God bless y'all, but I'm telling you.
You're stretching how we're talking about this team. None of us are getting on the bandwagon.
I do not think they have a chance. And Eric's the only one right now so far, JP a little bit, who was encouraged
yesterday.
Yeah,
he's taking a bit of a leap.
So.
I'm encouraged, but nobody here is saying they're a good team. No, nobody's saying jump on the bandwagon. However, as EB has been saying, you look at this team a month ago, and there was nothing really positive to talk about.
They didn't even look like an NFL caliber team.
You'd have to stretch to find a positive. And all we're saying is, whoever the new head coach is next year, and if they have a new GM, they may have some pieces to work with. And some of those pieces include guys like Fabian Moreau, who he was having an awful year. By all accounts, was horrible in slot, but maybe they found something that he can play the outside corner And you don't, you know, much better than Josh Norman. They certainly haven't missed Josh Norman the last 2 weeks.
You're never going to see Josh Norman step foot on the field again.
And
as a starter, at least.
At least you're seeing guys, first and foremost, get through games, finishing games.
Yeah.
And then you saw the talent.
Yep.
I mean, the stiff arm. I mean,
that's on a linebacker, too. That's not a corner.
Is that Shaq Thompson?
Shaq Thompson.
I mean, he just completely punked him.
Well, and just the way he leans into guys, too, to finish off runs.
Right.
I mean, if he's got an opportunity to run a guy over, he's going
to
do it.
He does like to put his head down. That opens you up for even more headshots from defenders, but that's just the way he plays.
Right. I'm just thrilled to have my Sundays back, at least for a few weeks, because there were 5 or 6 weeks there where, I mean, the games were so dreadful. They were over so quickly.
Right.
There was just nothing going on that you felt like you lost your football team. You were never, ever going to get it back. I feel like I got it back a little bit. And we're talking about a team that's 3-9. I just want to have a game to enjoy on Sunday at this point. Forget about a winning record.
Yeah.
I just want a team I can enjoy for 3 hours.
Well, I think the biggest thing, too, is are you going to see Dwayne Haskins develop into a good NFL quarterback ultimately? Here's Haskins after the game talking about how he's playing. If you actually look at the record, I know a lot of people don't want to look at record. I believe Haskins is 2-1 as a starter.
No, I think I was playing faster than what I needed to, so I was playing myself out of position with certain reads and stuff like that. So now I'm just slowing it down as far as I've got to speed up my drop every time I feel pressure. I don't have to escape every time I see somebody flash across my face, and I don't got to make the big throw every play. So it was just trusting my eyes, trusting my feet, and making the right reads.
He sounds more energetic than he did last week.
Last week he was embarrassed.
Now, this is just a little snippet.
Last week he was embarrassed from the selfie incident.
Yeah, I haven't heard the whole presser, but he sounds better after this win.
Well, I mean, they should. That's a good win.
It's a very good win.
Even though Carolina's not going to the playoffs, they had a shot.
Carolina's been flailing, but it's a road win.
That's a good win.
Against an opponent that was trying to get back in the NFC wild card chase. And the Skins basically ended that yesterday.
I mean, that was a team that was 5-3 at one point.
Right.
Carolina.
And you know how we'll never see, hopefully, Fabian or Josh Norman at starting corner anymore.
Right.
I think those days are definitively done. Hopefully, God bless him, we won't see Trey Quinn returning punts anymore. Because Steveson clearly has proven he can catch the ball.
That's right. That's
and he's more explosive with the ball.
Right.
Frankly, I'm happy to have Steve Sims start at slot receiver, too.
Sure.
To be honest with you.
I agree.
Let's go to Jared in Rockville. Jared, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning.
What's
morning,
up?
Guys.
What's up?
Hey, I got to tell you, the young wide receiver core is promising and hopeful. Darius Geis looks great. But I'm telling you, Dwayne Haskins is not the future in Washington. I think we need to move on. I mean, you're asking a guy to do all this great stuff. I get it. But he's missing wide open receivers constantly every game.
He's learning. You're not going to give him a learning curve? I mean, the guy started 3 games in his career, and you're ready to write him off?
I just gave you the numbers
of
Josh Allen.
He's a football player. He's in the NFL. He played college. I mean, you can't hit a wide open receiver.
He played like 13 games in college. You ready to write him off?
Yeah, absolutely I am. You got to come out better than that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, again, I just gave you Josh Allen's numbers from this year. He's a second-year quarterback, and he's beginning to flourish. Think about Jared Goff, how bad he was as a rookie. Had a really good second year. I know a lot of people saying he's having kind of not a great year this year.
A good game yesterday.
Well, of course, I bench him. I bench him for Ryan Tannehill.
Who did you bench?
Goff.
Well, Tannehill didn't have an awesome game.
I had to.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I had to.
He had a dreadful game.
Goff, I was going to call in when you guys were talking fantasy.
You were.
Because I was so pissed.
Props for listening.
I was so pissed after that game when I was 6 points down.
You're seething.
All right? I was 6 points down. Think about this. And all he had was Jeff Zuerlein.
Right.
Or Greg Zuerlein, whatever his name is. The kicker.
Megatron. Mm-hmm.
Goff could not outscore the kicker.
That's a sad state of affairs.
He didn't.
Yeah, that's
Zuerlein
bad.
Had 9 points.
It's brutal.
Goff had 6.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I had to bench him.
That's awful.
And then, of course, he comes up with a 400-yard game.
Right.
Well, Tannehill had 2 touchdown passes.
He was okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't throw for 400 yards.
No. All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Redskins fan, is there reason for optimism on a Victory Monday driven by Priority Toyota Springfield, where you can have it all, including priorities for life? The most comprehensive lifetime vehicle coverage in the business. Shop PriorityToyotaSpringfield.com.
Okay, Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Business shop priority Toyota Springfield.com, and we're wondering if Redskins fans are becoming a little more optimistic. And maybe by the time they get another home game, they'll actually have more fans in the stands. Maybe.
Maybe a few hundred.
Maybe a smattering.
I don't think it'll have a massive impact. But I think more people pay attention at home. I don't think it'll necessarily draw people out to the stadium.
Yeah.
But I think a few more people will actually kind of hang in there, at least see how the game starts.
Do you think the Redskins' local rating in D.C. on TV beat the Niners-Ravens game?
I doubt it. That was probably a pretty big game.
Yeah.
For me, obviously I'm going to watch the Skins over it. I did have the Ravens on my computer, on my laptop.
Yeah.
So I did keep an eye on it that way.
I think the Niners are happy they had to come to the D.C. area twice, and both times torrential downpours.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of fun. By the way, I don't know how many more Skins fans will be there for the last two home games because they're both against NFC East opponents, the Eagles
and the Giants.
Now,
that's true.
The Eagles is the first game of the two. That's December 15th. Then the next week is the Giants. Now, I don't know how many Giants fans are going to be there with the Giants dead and buried, basically, second to last game of the season. But I would expect there to be a good number of Eagles fans there.
Especially because they're battling in the division now. They're terrible. They just lost to the Dolphins.
Oh, what a horrible loss.
But they're just a game back of the Cowboys, who both teams are spiraling downwards.
Right.
How do you lose up 28-14 to Miami?
They got Fitzmagic. That's how. That guy still has
plus
some magic there, no doubt.
Flores, the head coach at Miami, he's gone balls to the wall. They're doing crazy things like having a punter throw to the kicker.
That was.
They're doing onside kicks in the middle
completed.
Of the game.
Well, here's how else is happening. Devontae Parker is having a really good year.
Yeah, their wide receiver.
A guy who they've been waiting for forever to break out. Well, it's happening.
So
this
Dolphins
year.
Fans, maybe there's some optimism there. And with Redskins fans, we want to hear from you. Is there any optimism after this two-game win streak, or just throw it to the side and say it means nothing?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at it. We'll bang these calls. Obviously, Dan's going to be here forever. So, you can take the tact that there'll never, ever be optimism, and they'll just always be forever losers. And there's something to be said for that. I can't live in that world. I have to have a little bit of optimism. And what our optimism is they get rid of Bruce, and then maybe somebody comes in there in charge of football operations that Dan backs off and lets him, operate. He seemed to for a few years when Joe was here. So that's my little reason for optimism. They might win a couple games down here, still get rid of Bruce, bring in a real football guy here to run the operation, and let's see where we go.
I think there's some talent. I think about a month ago, you'd be hard-pressed to find some talent. But you're seeing, whoever takes over as the head coach, they're going to have some pieces to work with.
Yeah.
And I do think, the defense has I think it can be coached better. Yesterday, obviously, had a great performance. But I feel like they definitely have pieces on defense where I think if they had a better coach than Minuski, they'd be actually where we kind of were expecting them to be.
I don't think you have to worry about it for very long. Do you see Minuski surviving into 2020?
Be hard to imagine.
I mean, I just don't see what.
Hard to imagine.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
Not unless Callahan.
There's going to be an improvement on defense, coaching-wise, starting next
season.
Here's
the thing, when you talk about, like, we've done this before. I did this a couple weeks ago. Even when they were at rock bottom, they need some personnel, there's no question about it. But, like, their base defense is largely going to stay the same.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're obviously going to swap out Josh, but Fabian looks like he's going to step in right away. Quentin Dunbar's a keeper, obviously. They appear to love Monte Nicholson, because if you were ever going to get rid of him, you'd have gotten rid of him within the last few weeks. Landon Collins is a keeper. Alan Payne and Ioannidis are keepers. Sweat's a keeper. Cole Holcomb's a keeper.
Right.
John Bostic, maybe not, but he hadn't been terrible. Hell, the only guy in there that's an obvious upgrade potentially could be Ryan Kerrigan. Of all the guys.
Yeah, but this was a defense that was getting carved up until a couple
weeks ago. You're right. True. But even while they were getting carved up, you'd be hard pressed to say, well, those are guys you have to replace.
I'm telling you, I'm putting some of that on the coaching.
But again, you don't know if there's so many unknowns. Because the next coach may not want to run that system, or they might want different parts.
But look, they're locked in with a lot of these guys too. I mean, they're not going to move on from Allen, Payne, or Ioannidis. No, they're just not. They're not going to move on from Sweat. They're not going to move on from Hulk. I mean, I'm telling you, the defense is largely set. Now, depth, and obviously depth comes into play because you need it. You look at what happened yesterday with Orchard and Chris Odom. Shows you when you have quality depth come in here and make plays, that could be all the difference between a win and a loss. They don't have Orchard and if they don't have Nate Orchard yesterday, they don't win.
By the way, I don't know if you saw the interview with J.P. Finley after the game with Orchard.
He was getting choked up. Yeah, guy was out of the league.
I think he was playing for like the Salt Lake Stallions or something this year.
Guy's a former second-round pick. And I remember watching him with Hard Knocks when he was with the Browns.
Was that in the U.S.?
What does it feel like for you to go from, I mean, literally this time last week you were at home.
Right.
And then you make two huge plays to win a game.
Yeah. Now I might get a little emotional, but my family, we've been through a lot. So to come out and represent myself and my family, it means everything. Just grateful for the organization giving me an opportunity to play the game that I love.
Man, you feel good for that dude.
He's going to be able to keep playing too.
I think in the UFL they had a Salt Lake City franchise.
It's Odom that maybe played for Salt Lake.
Yeah. The ill-fated UFL.
All right, let's bang up some of these calls.
The guy in the Cleveland Browns story that had the three young kids?
Or he was definitely one of the guys that they focused on.
Yeah, I remember him.
During that season.
Yep.
Yeah, my bad. Odom played for the Salt Lake Stallions.
Got it.
Then the Falcons.
And I believe they cut him at the end of the season. At the end of the preseason. When he was featured on Hard Knocks.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Eric in Alexandria. Eric, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
So I have optimism for some of the players. Certainly, Geis stays healthy. I've said this before. The guy just runs through, over, doesn't even care about going around people. It worries me a little bit, but I'm optimistic. Haskins, it's not reasonable for all these fans coming out saying, well, you know, after three starting games, you know, this is not the guy. You got to give him a chance. Not reasonable.
Right.
I'm never going to be optimistic about the ownership, but I'm going to stop talking about it because that's not going to change. The only thing that makes me a little pessimistic is that this nice little run we're having, this nice little exploitation of this very good talent in some positions, like Geis, like some of the defensive players, is going to give Bruce Allen enough ammo to say, hey, look, last year, 2018, was a mulligan. I wasn't responsible for two quarterbacks breaking their legs. Now, look, we put Haskins in. We got rid of Gruden. We've got some good players. We got ourselves a nice little run. I mean, if they end up with five or six wins, then I think Bruce Allen has enough ammo to go back.
I don't think so. His career record is 45-79 with the last two wins. And just look at the record. Just look at the record in just the last 5 years. 3-13, 4-12, 7-9, 7-9, 3-9.
But I agree, that is the ammo that he will use to try to stay around.
It shouldn't be enough.
To try to save his hide.
Two or three wins on the stretch can't save that job.
I completely agree.
He can't save that.
But he's a weasel, so he'll try to use that to his advantage.
Any human would, but
I've been saying this, though, the last few weeks. The loss of revenue, and I understand that the value of the franchise is going up. Snyder looks at the stadium and looks at the stands and people chanting, sell the team and fire Bruce Allen and all these things. And he sees a ton of empty seats and he sees fans. That's got to impact him. So you've got the terrible record. Plus, to me, the loss of revenue. I'd love for somebody to figure out the math, but I would guess they're losing $5 to $10 million easy every home game.
But he's been seeing that for the last 3 years and he still hadn't made a move.
Well, eventually you pull the plug.
Well, we'll see.
Again, you know this.
I'll believe it when I see it.
How long did it take for you to get rid of your wacky ex-girlfriend?
Oh, it took years.
Right? Sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah, but for Dan Snyder, he's seen the erosion from Bruce Allen for 10 years now. You're only in year 10
well,
is when you're gonna start evaluating it? That just proves to me like he's a horrible owner.
He's not.
It just reinforces that.
Look,
this should have been done 2 or 3 years ago.
A couple wins doesn't change the fact that tickets are going for $4.
Right.
A couple wins doesn't change that. It doesn't change the fact that there are 40,000 empty seats at FedEx Field. It doesn't change that. So, you know, listen, I know we all think that Dan's an absolute moron, and maybe he is. But certainly these, if they win, reel off 2 or 3 wins here down the stretch, that's not enough to save anybody's job.
Shouldn't
anywhere
be.
On the planet.
All right. We'll take more of your calls throughout the show at 800-636-1067. Coming up next, our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman joins us on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.